This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from my home base in the free state of Iowa. Good to be along. Todd is on his way back from California. It's a scheduled day off, a travel day, actually, as he makes his way back to Memphis, Tennessee, after a tremendous time over the weekend at an event there. And I'll give you the update on that in just a few moments as we bring you this Monday program from the Liberty University studio. And we invite your calls, as always, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Todd and I have exchanged some texts as he's making his way back. Tomorrow is premiere day for The Golden Age, Todd's new book, his ninth, if you can believe it. Wow, that's a lot of work, I got to tell you. As one who's only written six, he puts me to shame yet again, but The Golden Age, you get it now wherever you get your good books in a pre-order status, and it is live in bookstores tomorrow. And a little later in this half hour, I'll tell you folks in the Memphis area where you can go meet Todd and some special guests tomorrow night. But go to Amazon.com, go wherever you get your good books these days, and make sure you get your copy of The Golden Age. I have mine, and I have to tell you, I've lost a lot of sleep because I sit there in the evening and I start reading Starnes' writing, and I just don't stop. So it is well worth your time. Some great messages there. And about 6,000 good American patriots turned out to hear Todd speak over the weekend at the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. 6,000 people. They got early copies of the book on a special arrangement. Some 3 hours worth of book signings for Mr. Starnes over the weekend there, thanks to the good folks in Southern California. He's on his way back to Memphis today, and he'll be with you here behind this microphone tomorrow for the release day of The Golden Age. And fun thing for me, Todd is actually a guest on my show in Iowa in the 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central time hour tomorrow on premiere day. So if you go to KXEL.com, you can hear it via the stream or across the Midwest on our 50,000-watt signal. But I get a chance to talk with Mr. Starnes about the book tomorrow on my program, and he'll be here to share the great fun of release day with you tomorrow. Now, one of the things that Todd talks about in The Golden Age, and it is what the president has referenced, we are on the cusp of another golden age in America. We have the opportunity to surpass the greatness of America in so many points. This is already the greatest nation God ever blessed. You've heard me say that on multiple occasions, and it's because it's true. How can we become better? Well, the Trump agenda, the Make America Great Again agenda, the agenda that you folks all voted for, that's a pretty good blueprint. But the president needs help. And quite honestly, he's not getting it from the United States Senate. Now, I don't know about your job. Now, here I am in the middle of the Midwest. That's the middle of agriculture country. It's not like you put vacations down on the calendar. The crops need attention. The animals need attention. You don't just take off for 4 weeks at a time. U.S. Congress does that, of course. Here's something that's interesting about the congressional schedule. The House of Representatives adjourned back on the 24th of July. 1, 2, 3, 4, it looks like 5 weeks on the calendar I'm looking at. They're out for 5 weeks. They come back. This is the house. They come back on Monday, August 31st for 4 days. Because you got to ease into it. 4 days. And then they take off for Labor Day. Got to get out of town on Thursday, the 3rd of September, and then take off for Labor Day, that whole week, of course, and then they come back on the 14th. That's a good long stretch of time. Meanwhile, our friends in the U.S. Senate, well, they were there until the early morning on Saturday, and as you'll recall, last week they had a whole list of things that they were going to get done before they went home for the break, even if it meant going into, heaven forbid, overtime on Saturday. Well, they're home now. They won't be back until the 14th of September. So literally, we now have 3 full weeks where neither the U.S. House or Senate are in session. Then, as noted, the House shows up for 4 days before, again, they're all gone for another week. I'd like this job, at least that schedule. Now, I understand. They travel their districts, they travel the state. They meet with constituents. It's not like they're just sitting by a pool, necessarily. But how about getting your work done before you take off on vacation? I have worked at various jobs for a number of years. I work in radio. I have my own business that's tied to radio programming. I am a lawyer and practiced law for many years. I was a college professor for 25 years. You don't take vacation until the work's done. You just don't. In the real world, now I'm asking you folks who are listening who are business owners or who run your own operations, perhaps a farming operation, do you just get to take time off? No, you've got to get the work done. You either don't get the time off, or you've got to work extra ahead of time in order to earn the vacation. Or you could be the U.S. Senate and just say, wow, look at the time. We got to get out of town. It is true that the Senate passed the nomination of Todd Blanche to be Attorney General. Well, thank goodness that was done. So now, as the committee chaired by Rand Paul can send over a contempt request, now you've got an attorney general who doesn't have to worry about a vote, who can actually act on it on the merits and not worry about the politics of it. So that's a good thing. Having an attorney general in place, that's a good thing. They also passed a continuing resolution to kick the can down the road to fund the federal government until December. Why December? Well, we've got to take the whole month of October off for campaigning prior to the November election, don't you know? And, well, then you're going to have Thanksgiving. And so, never mind the fact that the fiscal year ends at 12:01 a.m. on October 1st. Never mind that. Nope, let's get a continuing resolution and kick this thing to December. So a bunch of lame ducks can act on it. So that those on the ballot don't have to be accountable. We'll just kick this ahead. Now keep in mind, the House hasn't agreed to that yet. We won't know how they feel until, wait for it, at least 3 weeks when they come back. Now I'm not a big fan of this 11th hour, last minute stopgap measure that everybody knew was coming, but nobody would pass until the last minute. I'm not a fan of that either. So I like the concept of let's set things up, but this is ridiculous that you can't get spending bills passed. The calendar did not change. You ran on returning to regular order for financing, keeping the government alive, etc. But here's a problem with being a student of history. And I write books on history. I tell stories about history on the radio. The problem is when you know history, it kind of scares you sometimes because I see history repeating itself with regard to Congress. Let's go back to the 2018 election. That was the midterm election of the first Trump term. the House passed a whole bunch of bills, and the Senate didn't take them up. And what happened? Voters held it against the House and the Senate, and there went the trifecta. There went the Republican majority. There went the opportunity to actually move things forward for the country. Because there were enough swamp dwellers in the Republican caucus that they just didn't like the way this guy was doing things. We run things. We're the career politicians. Don't try to tell us what to do. Well, what happened? They lost the majority. What do you see happening right now? The House has problems. There's no question. But the Senate is doing this president no favors. And by the way, when the Senate is doing this president no favors, they're not doing you any favors either. As a person listening to this radio program, as an American citizen, the Senate completely falling down on its own rather thin to-do list. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'm going to identify a few things that they promised they were going to work hard on before they went home for break, and instead kick that can down the road for 4 or 5 weeks. 901-260-5926. If you'd like to join this coast-to-coast conversation, we certainly encourage you to do that. The veteran financial journalist Dennis Neal talks about the economy and jobs with us in just about 15 minutes. Short break now, back on the other side. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, who's making his way back to Memphis from California. He'll be with you tomorrow. I'll be with you after this break on the Todd Stern Show.
It is finally time for a straightforward assessment of the state of our nation.
What happens when the institutions built to protect liberty are accused of working against it? This weekend, Salem News Channel's America 250 film series presents Government Gangsters. Watch a hard-hitting look at power, corruption, and accountability in modern America. Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on Salem News Channel.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Travel day, Mr. Stern's on his way back to Memphis from a wonderful weekend visiting with folks in California in preparation of the launch tomorrow of The Golden Age, the new book by Todd Starnes. Now, in this last segment, I ripped the U.S. Congress, members of the House and Senate, for taking so much time off in August. Well, if they're not going to be in session, at the very least, they ought to be acting, doing good things. So here's an example of that. If you are anywhere near the Memphis, Tennessee area tomorrow, that is Tuesday, you need to go to the Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria. Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria in Memphis tomorrow, 5 to 6 o'clock local time, central time. Because not only could you pick up a copy, autographed copy, of the Todd Starnes book, The Golden Age, meet Mr. Starnes, but he'll be joined by U.S. Senator and gubernatorial nominee Marsha Blackburn and Representative David Kustoff. Senator Blackburn, Representative Kustoff, and Todd Starnes. Boy, that's a trio. And it's at the Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria in Memphis. It's tomorrow, release day of the book, from 5 to 6 Central Time. So again, if they're not going to be in session in Washington, they need to be doing good things. Being at a Todd Starnes book signing is a good thing. You know what else is a good thing? Requiring people to vote with an ID card. Some sort of an ID. It's very simple. I defy you to find me somebody who does not actually have an ID who wants one. And in many of these states, like my state of Iowa that has a voter identification rule, it's not just a driver's license. There could be a variety of other things that you can show for identification. The fact that the United States Senate cannot put together a bill to safeguard American voter eligibility. By the way, that's what the acronym stands for in Save America Act. Safeguard American voter eligibility. Knowing who gets to vote and who doesn't. Is that not fundamental to the whole thing? But yet, once again, no vote on the Save America Act. And now there's a deal. The deal is that let's go home for August, and then we'll come back and make it part of reconciliation where the standards are lower. Now, this is the plan that Speaker Johnson had put forward some time ago. A reconciliation bill only requires a simple majority, and they would throw money into it, because, again, reconciliation has to do with budgets, right? So they would throw money into it for voter integrity. That's how they get past the rules. Okay, that's the Johnson approach in the House. We don't know if it'll pass the House. The Senate says they'll take that up. Okay, that's great. But even if, friends, even if they all pass it the day they get back, that both chambers are back, that's September 14th. You're less than 2 months before Election Day. You know there's going to be a challenge. What these swamp monsters have done is delay it long enough to where it will not have any impact on the 2026 election, even if passed when they get back. You know how the challenges are going to go. You know that there is no way to save this election through a method that could have been passed months and even more than a year ago. They did you no favors on that one. So of all the things that they pay lip service to, it's voter integrity. There are some elements in the Republican caucus who would like to take care of voter integrity. There are a ton of voters on all sides that would like to. But the U.S. Senate isn't playing. And truth be told, a little hard to get the House to really go along either. If the people currently in power, the people who have received their jobs and their month at a time long vacation, if those people who were elected under the old system refuse to change the system, what does that tell you? Let's just say it makes me suspicious. Let's just say if the people for whom the system worked are not willing to discuss changing the system, then they're all at fault. And yes, there are some very good people raising their hands as much as possible on this. And it is true, making them all sit in a room and stare at each other without a resolution, that might be a waste of time. And that's sort of why the folks who said, you know, forget the recess, we're going to stay here until this is done, why they backed off, because there's no path to passage. You can sit there all day. They're not going to do anything. Well, here's what I know. I don't know whether if you locked them in a room and said you're not getting out till you pass this, I don't know if it would have passed. Here's what I do know. It darn sure is not going to pass when they're back in their home districts, when they're back in their home states. If they're not in session, it's sure not going to pass, is it? So chief among the loose ends, if you will, voter integrity, no action. How's the economy treating you? Noted financial journalist Dennis Neal gives us his thoughts after this short break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Odyssey has shaped Western imagination. It tells the story of Odysseus as he faces monsters, shipwrecks, false comforts, and impossible choices on his long journey home. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, Homer's epic is more than a mythology. It explores permanent questions about courage, duty, loyalty, family, leadership, temptation, and the search for home. In one of the epic's defining moments, Odysseus rejects the offer of immortality from the goddess Calypso, choosing instead the long and difficult journey home. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Odyssey, that a life of duty, family, and home is greater than a life devoted to comfort or glory. Achilles chose glory. Odysseus chose home. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Odyssey. Taught by Professor Benedict Whalen, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Find this free course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Read the classics. Study the West. The Odyssey from Hillsdale College. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Travel day for Todd. He'll be back in Memphis tomorrow behind the microphone. Tomorrow, a special day. It's the release of The Golden Age, the brand new book by Todd Starnes. Tomorrow is release day. Order now wherever you get your good books, including at Amazon.com. And while you're there, you know, why just order one book? Why don't you order a book called Oregoners? It's authored by our guest who joins us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He's the veteran financial journalist, Dennis Neal. Mr. Neal, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you, good sir?
I am fantastic. It's a wonderful Monday, Jeff. It's good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you, sir. You spent your career documenting finances, markets, the economy, etc. I'm struck by something that came down on Friday, and I'm interested in your view on it. So the federal jobs report came down, and I understand that in television we need to have snappy little words at the bottom of the screen. And it said something like 23,000 jobs lost. Well, that sounds terrible. Until you dive into it and you find out that government jobs, the ones you and I are paying for, those went down by something like 55,000. So, in essence, the government jobs went down, but the private job number went up. That's supposed to be a good thing. Am I missing something on the reporting on this?
Well, you've already just stepped all over my lines and taken the best stuff I had prepared to lay out for you, Jeff. You're absolutely right about that. And everyone kind of missed that, didn't they? Let us be happy when federal government jobs or any kind of government job, you know, actually goes down. It's good for the economy because those jobs rely on our paying the money for them, don't they? And so I think that is a silver lining there. And there's a second one as well, Jeff, and that is that the one thing the Federal Reserve looks at more than any other, it's not GDP growth or, oh my gosh, the economy declined, that's a recession. They look at jobs numbers and jobs growth. And if it's not robust, they find it harder to raise interest rates. Now, the chances of an interest rate raise have gone up to 60% from 49% or something, over 60%. But maybe those chances now just went back down.
When you were reporting on this on the cable channels on a daily basis, would you have seen that same sort of, I'm going to call it a headline because I'm old, but at the bottom of the screen about jobs lost? I mean, it seemed to be presented without context. I'm just wondering if things were different when you started in that realm?
Well, certainly. I don't recognize the media anymore. Trump broke them. They've kind of bared their claws. They've cast off any mask of purported objectivity or fair and balanced. And instead are, I mean, get this. The stock market, even yesterday, was at the S&P 500 at an all-time high yet again. But the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey is at all-time lows. What the heck is that? People don't realize how good the economy really is. The media are burying that story on purpose. And the Trump administration and the Republican Party are doing a bad job selling that the economy is better than you think.
That is exactly why I wanted to have you on the program today and was so glad you were able to join us, because this narrative about quote-unquote affordability, things are terrible, etc. All right, I do understand where my paycheck is going because I'm the one who goes to the grocery store and the gas station and whatever. But I also have lived enough time that I know that prices ebb and flow, et cetera. And once we had that 9% inflation during the Biden era, that never goes back to where it used to be. So what's the real situation with the economy? What's the message that's not being gotten across, as you note, by the White House or Republicans broadly?
Let me think about what ways to put this in order. Look, I think that we're heading toward better times rather than heading toward worse times. I think capitalism is in good shape. The stock market being at all-time highs, Trump accounts encouraging people to set up accounts for their newborn babies. Hey, here's $1,000 from the government. You don't even have to match it. But if you do, my God, what it will grow to over 40 years is unbelievable. Do you know, I know someone, they put $2,000 into an account in 1981, did not add anything to it, invested it only in the S&P 500. Today, it's at like $260,000. That's called the power of compounding. More people in this country are going to become aware of it. I think we're a little spoiled. I mean, Jeff, remember all the wonderful posts on X from Europeans saying, my God, this country is amazing that I'm visiting here in America. They've got 11 versions of Dr. Pepper in the grocery store. They've got amazing serving sizes in restaurants and refills free of coffee. We are spoiled. We spend too much money, many of us, way too much money. Instead of cooking a $2 burrito at home, we expect to, you know, to order a $20 burrito at Chipotle, as there was just a controversy raging in the conservative side of things about the $20 burrito.
I'm not sure any burrito is worth $20, but I guess if I want it and I have the resources, I'll pay it. But now to your point.
Make it at home. Well, you've got to sacrifice more and save better.
You haven't tried my cooking, but that's a whole different. But the problem is, and this is part of being spoiled that you just mentioned. We expect there to be a dozen different types of Dr. Pepper or whatever at a store. And it's the sort of thing where we also expect to have it right darn now. And the credit card situation is out of hand. I don't think that's so much based on the economy, although people got pressed during COVID and after. I think it's a lack of discipline. What do you think?
Entirely, it's a lack of discipline, you know. I mean, our grandparents saved vastly better than our children do, although my daughter is an inveterate saver, a great saver, because I was pounding that into her from the time she was a little girl. But people spend way too much, and spending is the enemy of investing. And they can say that they don't earn enough in their jobs, but move to a cheaper neighborhood, move to a cheaper state. When I left New York after 40 years in January and moved to SoFlo, South Florida, I instantly got a 14% raise on my earnings because that's how much combined state and city taxes were taken out of anything I earned up in New York. And so there are things we could do. We aren't slaves. People complain that Amazon people, they're earning $21 an hour now. That's three times the federal minimum. And my gosh, they're complaining it's not enough, but no one's a slave. They could look for a better job. I just think there's too much negativity out there, Jeff, because it's now politics. The political split is what defines everything. In the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, Democrats believe that inflation is going to be at like a 6% rate or higher. And Republicans say, oh, no, it's only going to be a tenth of a percent annually. Well, both measures are ridiculous and wrong, and both measures are just skewed by political bias.
Well, how did we get to this point where numbers don't seem to matter?
Yeah, and where data, I mean, doesn't even count anymore. The other disturbing thing about that jobs report is the restatement of close to 200,000 jobs that we thought were created, and they were not. And that's kind of a bad thing. And all these are having to take that back down. I think, you know, the data and the noise today has never been worse. There's almost too much information going around there and not enough of it curated with a balanced perspective versus, you know, forwarding a political agenda. I mean, they keep complaining about affordability and prices now, but that's because under Biden it peaked at 9%. And then, like you said, the prices don't go back down. So anything on top is on top of that. And the reason it's so expensive is because of the 9% part of it, not because of the 3.2% now. Even though he's going to take a whole bunch of trouble for it. But I'm praying that the Muslim socialist takeover of the agenda and the flip end of the Democrat Party will prompt Democrat voters to turn out and vote Republican and vote instead to vote against this takeover, because what's happening is truly concerning.
We're speaking with Dennis Neal, the financial journalist. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Last year, his book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. This year, his book, Oregoners, How One State Chased Away Businesses and People. You get those books, as well as Todd Starnes' new book, The Golden Age. You get them wherever you get your good books these days. And Mr. Neal joins us live on the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. I'm glad you mentioned this revision of data situation. We seem to, for no good reason, my opinion, not necessarily yours, we seem to, for no good reason, hang on every little number of these jobs reports. And it affects our actions. But yet, we're revising data 30 and 60 days old. Can we not come up with a system where the reporting of data is different than it was 50 and 75 years ago, subject to filling out a form and mailing it to Washington? I don't understand why the data is so poor, but I'm led to believe it's because of the methodology in collecting it.
Exactly. And government runs way behind the technology in updating to embrace the new techniques. The University of Michigan survey has been struggling to go from cell phone-based survey to web-based surveys, which, you know, are skewed and several points difference from the actual telephone surveys that they've used for years and years. And, you know, when you look at the Federal Reserve, all of its data is looking backward, pretty much. It's hundreds and even thousands of data points and different things that they're meshing all together and looking at, you know, where things have been. And they're always behind the curve. They're always overreacting late because they underreacted early. And, you know, they were built in a time where tech hadn't taken over the economy. You know, storage costs fall 30%, 40% per year. I think the Federal Reserve has a hard time factoring that in and the impacts of that and the productivity increases. And so it's always worried when it sees high growth, it instantly thinks it's high inflation. But with tech, and especially now with AI, you can have higher growth without any inflation because the productivity and output increase with that growth, and therefore prices don't go up.
So should we be paying as much attention to the Fed as some people do? I mean, right in the aftermath of the jobs report, and you were kind enough to mention it a few moments ago, it now telegraphs something. This is data that the Fed will use, and what might the Fed do? They don't meet in August. They meet in September. What will the Fed do? Should the average person listening to this conversation care what the Fed does?
It's such a good question, because when you're a pixel pundit inside the circle talking about how important it is, you dare not question that.
I noticed your hushed tones as you dared to speak it.
Person, you're kind of right. They don't have to worry about it on a day-to-day basis. But if you've got an IRA and it's in stocks, you want to know what they're doing, because just, you know, key in that one thing that, oh, the lower the rates go, the better stocks look, because they offer a far better return than safe government bonds. But the higher government rates go, government bonds, then suddenly stocks aren't as pretty, and some of the money flows into bonds, and the stock market doesn't like that.
Always great analysis from the veteran financial journalist Dennis Neal. What's Bugging Me is his podcast. You listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. Ricochet, I believe, is the distributor. His most recent book is Oregoners. Get that at the same time that you pick up Todd's new book, The Golden Age. Dennis Neal, thanks so much for joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Have a tremendous afternoon, sir.
You too. Glorious day to you, sir. Thanks a lot.
And as noted, Mr. Neal joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. More from the Liberty University studio in a moment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. He'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back in 4 minutes on the Todd Starn Show.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
That's some mood music there for a Monday. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next hour. We'll also be joined in the next hour by a candidate for Congress from Florida. His name is Ben Butler. That's just after the top of the hour. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Indiana Congressman Rudy Yockum. That is in our next hour, but we have plenty of time, as always, for your calls at 901-260-5926. Now, I had started the program by talking about the dereliction of duty in the U.S. Senate. And we've already talked about voter integrity. We've talked about the fact that the House has a budget resolution, but the Senate instead just kicked the can down the road because apparently the Senate just doesn't like the House telling them what to do. I don't know. There's a crypto regulation bill for cryptocurrency. That's a big deal for people in the industry. Well, that's not getting anywhere, apparently. They don't think that's even going to get passed until after the election, if then. And then how about protecting college sports, giving the NCAA some limited antitrust protection to regulate things like the transfer portal, et cetera, name, image, likeness, NIL, the way that the student-athletes get paid, et cetera. Well, they reached a deal. They're going to wait until September. They voluntarily decided not to push that. Now, I don't know about you, but I need deadlines. I need a list. And I do things based upon the clock ticking. No, not everything, and that's not a great way to live, but, you know, when you've got the leverage of the clock, how about using it? Well, apparently that's just getting in the way of the club nature of things. And all of that, by the way, everything we just talked about that the Senate did not do before leaving town, here's something they did not do. They did not get a five-year farm bill through the Senate Ag Committee. They thought they had it all teed up to go. And then the Democrats kind of pulled a fast one. The Democrats didn't like the fact that states were going to have to contribute toward what we used to call food stamps. It's SNAP benefits. Well, in the reconciliation bill last year was put in place, hey, states have to pony up on some of this. So they reached an agreement, oh, we'll defer that for a year. Why, I don't know, but they said, okay, you Democrats, you, in order to buy your vote, we'll give you 1 year of a reprieve on this. So then comes time for the markup and the vote, and the Democrats say, oh, no, we want 2 years of this. So basically, you make a deal with the devil. Is it a coincidence that devil and Democrats both start with D? You decide. You make a deal with the devil, you give them a little, and they want more. There's never enough. Just like with your tax dollars, there's never enough. No matter how much you pay, it's never enough. So instead of a version of a farm bill getting through the Senate Ag Committee and potentially to the Senate to then work with the House bill, which is different, to actually get a bill passed that's already 3 years behind schedule, nope, not going to do that. That didn't happen. Now, what I challenge those on the left, and I've said it on my station, and I'll share it with you nationally, the folks on the left who keep crying about these SNAP benefits and paying for all these things, if you don't support the farmers to produce the food, there will be no food to use SNAP benefits for. So get the priorities straight and guarantee a secure food supply that is in some way affordable for those of us who are paying our own way, and allow folks who need a little help to get the help, and everybody's happy. Ah, but you guys got to go home on vacation. Good for you. Todd Starnes is not on vacation. Travel day. He will be back tomorrow. I'm Jeff Stein. I'll be back after the top of the hour. Thanks for being along from the Liberty University studio on the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the Liberty University studio in my home base at the Free State of Iowa. Scheduled day away from the microphone for Todd. He's making his way back from California, where he had a fantastic weekend. He spoke to about 6,000 people at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in SoCal, Southern California. Signed books for about 3 hours. They're the lucky ones. They got their copies of The Golden Age early. Release date is tomorrow. You can pre-order yours now. Or if you're in the Memphis area, stop by the book signing. I'll tell you more about that coming up in a bit. The Golden Age, the brand new book by Todd Starnes. Release date is tomorrow. Get your copy now. You will be glad you did. Tomorrow is another big day on the ballot. We know about the special election in South Carolina, also primary elections in Connecticut, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Vermont, some of the Alabama congressional districts. That's tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, they have primary elections in Florida. And joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is a Republican candidate for Congress from the 9th District of Florida. His name is Ben Butler. You learn more at butlerforflorida.com. Mr. Butler, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Great to come at you from the free state of Florida.
Absolutely, sir. And I have to tell you, now I've looked a bit at your bio. You run a dairy and cattle operation. That's no easy feat these days. You've got a great life. You've got a wonderful family. Why in the blazes would you run for Congress?
Oh, I have been asked that many times since I started this campaign. Jeff, you know, ultimately, when our state redrew our congressional lines, and this is an opportunity for us to flip a congressional seat from blue to red, and so knowing that Republicans are going to win this one, started looking around and realized we need more common sense in D.C., and I couldn't find anybody that was going to take that common sense. So I felt the calling, and we jumped in, and it has been quite a ride here for the last 2.5 months on this primary campaign trail.
What surprised you the most so far in talking with voters or running a campaign?
Well, there's a lot, and that's multiple questions there, but in talking to voters, you know, I guess it hadn't been a surprise. The number one issue has been affordability. And I'm a strong believer that our federal government has got to shrink. And it's going to take that common sense, those values, these things that we've learned on the farm. The fact that you've got to fix the problem. You can't wait around. You can't belabor it. The problem needs to be fixed. Our federal government spending needs to be fixed because it has contributed to our inflation. So that's been the number one issue that I'm hearing from folks around.
So as a congressman from Florida, what do you think you're going to be able to offer to get these folks who are kind of stuck in the swamp, to get them to change their ways? Because we didn't get here all at once. It's going to take a while to turn it around. But what can you offer that will help get us in the right direction?
Well, it's a great question. It's so as a farmer, we find as a commodity producer, we're price takers. And so what we can control at our level is we control our expenses. And that's what I'll bring to the table, the ability to sort through, to find the common sense, to use common sense, and to limit what we do at a federal government. It is, I bring a perspective coming from agriculture, but it is the skills that we've learned, the skills that I've learned in controlling expenses, whether it be managing a payroll, managing the land to survive, or just the regulations that we deal with. There are lots of opportunity to create more efficiencies and reduce expenses. And that's what I'll bring to the table.
Ben Butler is our guest. ButlerForFlorida.com is the website. This is the 9th Congressional District. The primary is a week from tomorrow, August 18th. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Starn Show today. This is a crowded primary. How are things shaping up in terms of your common sense and your background as opposed to these other folks?
Well, it is a crowded primary. There are 7 Republicans that we're all vying for. You know, our story is resonating. Got a couple self-funders in the race. We've not. We've been raising everything organically through contributions, trying to use those resources to get our story out. And it's resonating. We finally saw some polling late last week that says we've got a 4-way tie. Statistical tie at the top of the ticket here with about 40% of folks still undecided. So we've got some opportunity. It's exciting for us. And, you know, we're going to continue here in this last week and a half of just continue to get our story out and let our electorate know that, you know, it's time that we get a farmer up to D.C.
Well, amen to that. I come from Iowa. And so you can imagine how I felt when the farm bill fell apart in the Senate the other day. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yes,
but,
sir.
So I'm looking at your website, and you're promoting Second Amendment rights. That's not the first time you've held a firearm, sir. I can tell from this photo.
Hey, let me tell you, and we shot a video, and I'm proud to say we did 4 takes, and I hit that clay all four times. So I just wish it was caught on video for the ad that we put together. But no, it's. Jeff, I am absolutely, of course, growing up in rural America, you own firearms, but as an American, I own firearms just for my own peace and protection and the safety for my family. And it's something that I hope I never have to use, but it is our Second Amendment right, and I fully believe in it, and I will defend it to the end.
Okay, you don't need my help, but, you know, go shoot another ad. Go shoot another ad and label one of the clays deficits. Another one. Yeah, I mean, you get the idea here. And here's Butler, and he's just shooting these things like it's nothing, and he'll do the same in Washington. That's free. You can have that all you want.
I like it.
Help us understand, because again, I've been whining about the farm situation, and because again, I think there are too many people in Washington, frankly, across the country, who think food comes from the grocery store. Well, it doesn't. What can you do to help make this an industry that can continue on to the next generation? I see from the website your daughter is involved with things like FFA and 4-H. How do you keep this thing going? It's tough these days.
It's tough. It's tough. And you know, as a farmer, I mean, one of the biggest challenges that we face is keeping our farms sustainable so they'll pass to the next generation. And, you know, as a farmer, it's not just my choice. It's my daughter's choice to want to continue the farm on. So we've got to provide things that, you know, that encourage our next generation to want to keep farming. When they look around and they see the struggles that that their parents are going through, whether it be just struggles just to paying the bills or making payroll, you know, of course, farming is not, we rely upon Mother Nature for a lot of things. It's not easy. It's not for sissies. But, you know, too many times the next generation sees other opportunities off the farm where they think it's, you know, there's other ways to make a living. But I'll tell you, Jeff, there's not more rewarding than actually working the soil, working with God's creatures, with animals, and helping to produce food. It doesn't happen magically. That's right. It doesn't just show up in the grocery store. You know, it's kind of funny. When, you know, in Florida, we deal with hurricanes. And, you know, when you lead up to the hurricane, just like I've never been in snow, but I've heard the stories that, you know, one of the first things to sell out is milk and bread in the store. And but as soon as everything clears up, as soon as the hurricane passes, that milk and bread is back in the store. That doesn't happen magically. That's because your farmers are working through that hurricane to make sure as soon as it opens back up, it's there. So it's I don't know that our farmers get enough credit for what they do in producing food and the struggles that they work through. And you know, you brought up the Farm Bill. I mean, that's where the Farm Bill comes in. The Farm Bill's not to keep our farmers propped up. The Farm Bill is to make sure that we've got safe, affordable food supply for every American. That is the purpose, and it doesn't get talked about enough. And when that fell apart in the Senate, a little disappointing. Hopefully they'll be able to take it up in this session. If not, I stand ready to take it up next go round.
If somebody doesn't print T-shirts that says "Farming, it's not for sissies," then they're missing an opportunity. I made a note of that the moment you said it. You've got some nice endorsements on the website. People that I've talked to on Todd's program before in the past, as the audience is would be familiar as well. But I got 60 seconds, and I'm going to let you make your case. Why should Floridians vote for you in the primary for 9th District a week from tomorrow?
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. You know, ultimately, this campaign comes back. It's why I jumped in. We've got enough lawyers and career politicians in D.C. What we don't have enough of are people who have actually had to produce something, people who had to make a payroll. They've had to manage the land and survive the bad years, and then they have to live with the consequences of government decisions. I'm running to take those common sense values to D.C. Washington, they got enough people that know how to write a regulation. They just need more people that know what it costs to live under regulation. And, you know, that's been one of my big talking points throughout the campaign. And, you know, I'll end it with this. We can't on a farm. I've learned that I can't spend my way out of every problem. I've learned that I can't borrow forever, and that excuses don't get the work done. And, we need more of that in D.C., and that's why we say it's time to send a farmer to Washington.
ButlerForFlorida.com is the website. If you like what you heard and you'd like to help him out, there's a nice subtle donate button at the top of the webpage. Ben Butler, good luck a week from tomorrow. I've enjoyed the conversation, let's get some more people who know how to drive a tractor down Capitol Hill in Washington.
There you go. Drive a tractor and milk a cow. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Take good care, sir. Appreciate it. Ben Butler, he's running for Congress. 7-person race, Republican, Florida's 9th District. And the primary is a week from tomorrow. He joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. Call in. We'll put you on in the next segment. Short break now. Your call's on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Indiana Congressman Rudy Yockum about what he's hearing from Hoosiers this time of year. That's coming up after the bottom of the hour. This is from the category of "We Don't Deserve Him." This is a post from President Trump on Truth Social. Now, you may remember that the folks in Iran are saying, "We want compensation from the United States for breaking stuff," or whatever, during this conflict. This is your president, our president, speaking. Quoting now, "I see that representatives of the Islamic Republic of Iran are asking for compensation for the damage done to them during the last 5-month military conflict, started because," all caps, "they will not have a nuclear weapon, even though it was never mentioned in any of our negotiations or meetings." Okay, this is the president on Truth Social saying, now they want compensation even though it never came up before. The president continues, "But it is an interesting idea because now I am likewise demanding compensation from Iran for all of the people that they have killed and gravely wounded with their roadside bombs and many conflicts for which they are famous, as led initially by General Soleimani. including the families of those killed on the USS Cole and thousands of others killed in combat. The president on Truth Social continues, additionally, compensation should be paid to the families of the hundreds of thousands of innocent protesters that Iran has killed over the last 50 years, not to mention the 52,000 that have been killed in the last 5 months. I have instructed my representatives to put this firmly into any and all further future negotiations. Get that. I have instructed my representatives to put this firmly into any and all future negotiations. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. They need those T-shirts also. Thank you for attention to this matter with his signature. Again, go ahead. Thank me later. So that's the president on Truth Social today as we're trying to figure out, okay, on again, off again, on again, off again. The news stories today have suggested that perhaps instead of bombing them into submission, we would just economically starve them to where they have to come to the table. But that was the hook over the weekend, Iran saying, well, we want compensation for all the stuff you broke. And Trump saying, all right, you want to play compensation? How about for all of these people you killed? How about the damage to people for 50 years? I mean, let's face it. The reign of the Shah of Iran was not perfect by any stretch. All right. Remember, after the Shah left power in 1978 or 79, the hostage taking was 79, so I'm not sure when he actually left the country. But there were a lot of nations that would not let him be housed there. The U.S., Jimmy Carter caught all sorts of flack for the fact that the Shah was allowed into this country for medical treatment for his cancer. However, they kept it quiet because of the backlash. So again, no picnic during the Shah's time, but certainly the last half century has been an example of the most heinous regime you can find, certainly one that you don't want to have a nuclear weapon. But there you go. Let's get our own compensation. So I guess things aren't going swimmingly on that front either. I took a position earlier this month, and I'll share it with you here. It's pretty simple. We're either in or we're out. Either go in and finish the job or get out. Because the back and forth is not producing the kind of results we need. I get it. I get that we don't want to, even heard the president, he says, I don't want to kill people. Especially when it's not the people who are causing the problem. But we have to put an end to this. That's how the people themselves can govern in the future. And people say, well, why don't they just take up arms and govern themselves? Well, they can't take up arms. The arms have been taken away from them. So, all right, Iran, get out your checkbook. We'll be happy to discuss it with you, according to President Trump. Congressman Rudy Yakim of Indiana joins us after this break on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Monday. Todd will be back tomorrow. He's making his way back from an appearance and book signing in California. Very successful one. The book, The Golden Age, comes out tomorrow everywhere, including in Memphis. And we'll tell you about an appearance where you can come meet Todd. If you are in that part of Tennessee, that event is tomorrow. I'll tell you about that in a few moments. But now I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I'm pleased to welcome the congressman representing the 2nd District of Indiana, the Honorable Rudy Yakim. Congressman Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking the time. So this is the district work period, and so you're out meeting with constituents and what you're calling the Hoosier Heartland Tour. What is that, and what do you hear from folks?
The Hoosier Heartland Tour is something that, I take the opportunity to do every single August. We go around Indiana's 2nd District. I go to all 11 counties multiple times and hear from Hoosiers. I don't think that you can fight for people that you don't know. You've got to take the time to get to know your constituents, hear what's on their minds. And so I'm walking the factory floors. I'm getting out to the farmers' fields, and I'm just listening to Hoosiers. And I got to tell you, Jeff, they're talking about things like the working families tax cuts. They're talking about how grateful they are for things like no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors, the elevated child tax credit, the enhanced standard deduction. And that's just for our working families. And a lot of our businesses are talking about the great things that we've done for small business and manufacturing. I mean, everything from the permanent extension of the 199A deduction to the permanent or the R&D expensing, for full expensing, the full expensing for capital expenditures when you're expanding a factory. I mean, all these things are great things for working families and middle-class families, and we're hearing it everywhere we go around the district.
Is it hard for people to appreciate everything that the reconciliation bill signed on Independence Day last year did? And I say that, Congressman, for this reason, because the biggest thing for me was preserving those tax cuts, but that's not something that people saw directly. And I wonder if you folks just aren't getting the kind of credit you deserve for that alone, much less all these other things that you've mentioned that have made it much easier to be a business owner in this country.
Well, of course, we preserved the Trump tax credit or tax cuts from the first round back in 2017 that the president did working with Congress. But also, you know, we want to encourage people to go back to work. We want to allow the Hoosiers that I serve to keep more money in their pockets. And that's why we did many of the things that the president asked us to do. You know, it was the president's idea to do no tax on tips. That's why we did it. You know, the president said that our seniors who are out there, you know, sometimes struggling to make ends meet, why they should have more money in our pockets. I mean, that's why we did that. That's why we provided for things like no tax on auto loan interest to make it easier and more affordable to buy a car. That's why we did a number of things, including allowing small businesses who are building new factories to fully expense the entirety of the factory, including the shell. And I got to tell you, Jeff, I don't know if you know this, but right now there are 83,000 people in this country who are building new factories because of President Trump's economic policies. Now, these are things to be celebrated, and we need more of it.
And again, in my background, the small business I run does not need a lot of equipment, but in my past life as a lawyer, I would do business planning and taxes for people. And the average business owner would say, well, how come I had to pay the full freight for this piece of equipment or whatever it is, but I can't deduct it unless I amortize it over decades? That doesn't seem to make sense. You should be able to deduct an expense in the year you pay the expense. That common sense approach was the hallmark of what we've been discussing here. Makes a huge difference for planning and business expansion.
That's exactly right. It makes no sense because you got to basically pay for a piece of equipment twice, right? You got to pay the tax on the money that you earn, but then you can't write it off in the first year. You've got to take that write-off over the course of many, many years. It just makes no sense. And so that's why we thought that it was a great thing to do, and we're seeing capital investment at an all-time high. This money is also translating, Jeff, to your everyday worker. Your typical middle-class family has seen their real wages, and real wages means adjusted for inflation, those real wages have gone up about $1,000 in the last 18 months. Now, if you're in manufacturing or construction, that means $4,000 for you. So $1,000 for a typical middle-class family, $4,000 for the average manufacturing and construction worker. That's real money back in the pockets of Americans that they can use to meet their everyday expenses.
We're speaking with Congressman Rudy Yockum from the 2nd District of Indiana. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. A lot of folks across the country may know what USMCA is. Those of us in the heartland, those of us who have a lot of folks involved in agriculture, know an awful lot about what that means. Remind us what USMCA is and what's the status of it, because we got a signal from the White House that negotiations might become a little bumpy.
You know, President Trump has proven time and time again that he's the master negotiator. And during his first term, he negotiated this deal called USMCA. It stands for United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. And what this does is it allows for the free flow of goods and services between those three nations. That agreement was also smartly negotiated to allow a review process, which really got underway in earnest on July 1st of this year. As a part of that review process, you always want to look at your agreements and figure out if there are ways to enhance or improve those agreements. And I believe that there are ways that this agreement, as good as it was, can be improved upon. And so I led a letter on behalf of House Republicans, got 167 of my colleagues to sign on to that letter that we sent to USTR Ambassador Jameson Greer, encouraging them to not only continue the negotiations, but also calling for some of the enhancements that we believe can be made. And at the same time, we need Canada and Mexico to bring their best offers forward as a part of these negotiations. So we're encouraging our allies and friends and partners across the borders to bring their best efforts forward because, you know, at the end of the day, Mexico and Canada, they're also big customers of ours. You know, I represent the manufacturing capital of North America. We make 85% of the nation's RVs. We make a lot of the nation's pontoon boats, the medical device capital of North America with 60% of the nation's knees, hips, and joints. We also have a lot of farmers and ranchers, and they want to be able to export their products to Canada and Mexico without any encumbrances from either country.
And what I found interesting from some on the left, because again, NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, that had all sorts of problems. USMCA was good at the time it came in, but we've had complaints. We've had problems with Mexico. We've had problems with Canada. The dairy industry is not real thrilled with our neighbors. And so there have been, I don't want to say dust-ups, but there have been conversations. There have been items submitted to the appeals process and the resolution process set forth in the original agreement. So this hasn't been perfect because there are always issues. And so there are some on the left who, when the president said, well, maybe we'll just go it alone and we'll just do bilateral negotiations, they acted like the sky was falling. But that's just part of the process, is it not, Congressman, to try to get the best deal you can for your constituents in this country?
We have to get the best deal that we can. And that's why, again, President Trump has proven so many times that he's the master negotiator. You know, we've seen a lot of these issues. I mean, even Mexico banning GMO corn a few years ago. And so one of the things that we're asking for is we just think it makes better, or a lot more sense to have faster dispute resolution processes so that when there is a dispute with one of our neighbors, we can get to a resolution faster. Because if you're a Hoosier farmer and one of your products gets banned by either Canada or Mexico, it creates a real problem for you because, you know, these products don't last forever, right? It's crops and it's dairy. I mean, the products don't last forever. So you've got to be able to export those immediately. And when there's a problem, we've got to be able to get to a quick resolution.
So as we talk about some of these issues, I find it interesting that when we're in an election year, or when the heat gets a little hot on people, they all of a sudden change their positions. You know, never mind what their past statements were, never mind what some of their past tweets were. People tend to sanitize the record. That's starting to get a little old, as far as I'm concerned. What do Hoosiers think about these people who say one thing and do six others?
Yeah, you look at what, of course, even over the weekend here, what AOC was trying to say. She's trying to whitewash some of her old positions. We can never forget what the DSA, they call themselves the Democrat Socialists of America. The reality is they are communist and they are crazy. I mean, look at just today what these people are calling for, Jeff. They're calling for the abolishment of the Senate. They're calling for us to get rid of our jails and do what with the criminals? Just let them go wander the streets? They want to get rid of law enforcement. They want to abolish the Supreme Court. These people are catering to their far-left base. It's exactly what Chuck Schumer's been doing in Washington, D.C. with these government shutdowns. And now you've got these crazy people winning the U.S. Senate Democrat nominee in Michigan. You've got them winning House races in places like Colorado and New York. It's even worse in New York, Jeff. They are taking out existing Democrat incumbents for the high crime of working with Republicans on issues, and they're getting taken out by these crazy communists. And we've got to be able to draw a contrast as we go into this election cycle of those of us Republicans who are sane and rational and want to lead the American people forward, want to put more money in the pockets of Americans and increase freedom and opportunity for hardworking Americans versus these crazy communists who want the government to control everything.
We just have a couple of more minutes with Indiana Congressman Rudy Yockum, and so I want to ask, how frustrating is it? And I talk to members of the Iowa delegation frequently on the radio. How frustrating is it to do what you do and then have things just sort of sit there at the Senate? And I'm thinking in particular of a farm bill, but, you know, you folks had a spending package teed up as well in the House, and I just get a sense, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, this is feeling way too much like 2018, where the Senate wasn't helping the House out to get the president's agenda across the finish line.
You know, whether it's a spending package or the Save America Act, we can't forget about that, or the Farm Bill. You know, the Senate, and particularly Senate Democrats, I mean, these people are pure obstructionists. All they want to do is grind things to a halt. And sometimes when you ask them what they want, either they won't tell you or you'll get a list of crazy demands. If so many of the things that we're asking for, it's just pure common sense. Look at the Save America Act. We're simply saying that you've got to have an ID when you show up to the polls, and when you register to vote in a federal election, you have to prove that you're a U.S. citizen. It shouldn't be that hard. I mean, you've got to have an ID for everything these days, including apparently now walking into one of Mom Donnie's grocery stores. You should have to have an ID to show up to vote. We've been doing it that way here in the Hoosier State for, I don't know, probably 15 years or so. And the Hoosiers and I serve just simply think that our federal elections should be secure, no matter where you're at. It's just common sense, and Senate Democrats continue to stand in the way at every turn.
That's where we'll leave it, Congressman. Thank you so much for the time. It was a privilege speaking with you, and keep up the excellent work for the folks of the 2nd District of Indiana.
Jeff, thanks for having me on.
It was a privilege. Congressman Rudy Yockum, and he joined us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 901-260-5926. That's the number where you can connect with us and continue this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being with us on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He will be back tomorrow. This is a scheduled day away because he's traveling back from California. Had a great visit there with some 6,000 people in Southern California. Flying back to Memphis to be on site and behind the microphone tomorrow for release day. The Golden Age, the new book, it's finally here. I was lucky enough to get a copy, and I tell you, it's yet another great effort by Mr. Starnes. And you pre-order it now, or reserve a copy at your local bookstore. You get your hands on it tomorrow. Tomorrow is release day for The Golden Age. And if you're in the Memphis area, there is a book signing that Todd will be doing tomorrow at the Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria. It's tomorrow, Tuesday, 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time, that's local time, in Memphis. And in addition to meeting Todd Starnes, in addition to getting him to sign your copy or copies of The Golden Age, you'll also be able to meet Senator Marsha Blackburn and Congressman David Kustoff. They'll be there with Todd as well. I tell you, that's almost worth me making the drive. I think it's 12 hours. Well, in any case, if you're anywhere near Memphis, go see Todd Starnes at the Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria tomorrow, Tuesday, 5 to 6 o'clock, local time. Senator Blackburn, Congressman Kustoff will be there as well. And for the rest of us, just go to wherever you get your good books these days and buy a copy of The Golden Age. I was at the Barnes & Noble in my neck of the woods here in Iowa the other day, and they still had a few copies of Star Spangled Blessings, Todd's book from last year. And when I say they still have some copies, they keep running out and having to reorder because of the listeners to the Todd Starnes Show here in Iowa. They like going to get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings at the bookstore. We encourage you to get it wherever you like. So why not buy another couple of copies of Star Spangled Blessings, buy The Golden Age. And here, I've said this before, and so I'll repeat it. When you buy a Todd Starnes book, you need to buy two copies. And here's why. Because they're always so good, you feel compelled to share them. And there are some folks who will go out and buy a copy, and there will be others who say, well, you know, let me just kind of read off of yours, see if I want to get it. See, here's the problem I've had. I loaned somebody a copy of a Todd Starnes book, never got it back. Even asked for it, never got it back. See, these things are good. People want them. So if, in fact, you're one of those people who likes to share, you share recipes, you share your favorite music, your TV shows, you share your books, you loan somebody a Todd Starnes book and they're going to ghost you. They're not going to give it back. So you need to buy at least two copies of each of the books. So if you loan one out, you still have your copy. You see how this works? Star Spangled Blessings released last year, the brand new book, The Golden Age. It's released tomorrow. Get it wherever you get your good books these days. And again, if you're in Memphis, Barnes & Noble, Wolf Chase Galleria, tomorrow, 5 to 6 o'clock local time. And if the bookstore that you like to frequent doesn't have the book in stock for tomorrow, they don't plan to get it, well, you just need to encourage them and tell them there are a lot of good patriots out there who will patronize that bookstore if they keep all manner of Todd Starnes books available. Now, coming up in our next hour, I'm going to talk about sports. Now, don't go running away. This is about, I stopped paying a lot of attention to sports when they got way too woke in all of the false narrative about George Floyd. I am struck by the humorous nature of the Women's National Basketball Association League, the WNBA, and they've taken it to another level, and they're getting called for it, and I think it's fantastic, and that's where we'll start the next hour from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the Liberty University studio. At my home base in the free state of Iowa, this was a scheduled day away for Todd because he's traveling back from California after meeting up with some 6,000 people in Southern California, thanks to the good folks at the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. 6,000 people to hear Starnes speak. He signed books for about 3 hours and probably is icing his wrist right now on his way back to Memphis, where he will be with you tomorrow for release day of the new book, The Golden Age. You order it now. It's released tomorrow. And there's a special event in Memphis that we'll tell you about here in a little bit as well. So it's always a privilege for me to join you from the Liberty University studio. And you can join this coast-to-coast conversation if you'd like. It's 901-260-5926, same number that you're used to using, 901-260-5926. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, when you go online to purchase the Todd Starnes book, The Golden Age, you may also want to take a look at a book by our friend A.J. Rice. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. And it's called The Curse of the Bearded Lady, How the Trans Mafia Whacked American Sanity. No Shrinking Violet, A.J. Rice. And he'll join us after the bottom of the hour. But your calls between now and then at 901-260-5926. I want to talk about sports but don't turn away. I want to talk about the WNBA. Now, really don't turn away, okay? The Women's National Basketball Association, this is a professional league for the females, and it is underwritten by the NBA. Now, they have never been more popular than they are now in terms of attendance and in terms of money from TV contracts, in terms of attendance at the stadium's popularity, etc., in large part because of the attention that they received because of a single player. And I don't know Caitlin Clark. She's an Iowa native, played high school ball in Des Moines, played college ball for the University of Iowa, my alma mater. Don't know her. But I do know she is a really good basketball player, and people started paying attention to the league once she joined the league. Now, normally you'd think, wow, what a good thing. If you're a WNBA player and you're used to not having games on television or barely able to find them on the high channels of your cable or satellite system, you're flying coach as opposed to chartered flights, and you're making peanuts. That was the situation before. Well, now, because there's more attention being paid to women's basketball, in large part, not exclusively, because of Ms. Clark, well, now the teams are doing great. There's a lot of attention. They got a nice collective bargaining deal. Hey, things are going really well. We should be grateful for this. Nope, the problem is, and this is true in any business, if you have bad management, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden you've got a product people want to buy. You still got bad management. You still aren't going to be able to achieve your greatest potential. And so it is with the WNBA. Because they don't really want to be successful, or those who are getting in the way, if you will, of the league's success, these players who think they're the reason for it, or, hey, I was here before these other folks, and so I'm the reason it's successful. Well, obviously, that's not the case. Well, what I love is the fact that some of the players want to speak their minds. Some of these female athletes who basically are saying, yeah, we don't want guys in the locker room. We don't want to have to play against guys, males, non-females, individuals who can't necessarily cut it as a male athlete, so then they say they're a female athlete. No, we don't want to play against those people. If we've got a women's league, it should be for women. Now, that does not sound to me like a radical position. But when you're someone like Sophie Cunningham saying it, then all of a sudden there's backlash. Now, what did she say? She said she wanted to extend love, her phrase, to everyone, but added, quote, this is Sophie Cunningham, 29-year-old women's basketball player, quote, I also think with that love is truth, being honest. And I want to protect young girls in a locker room or young girls in sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men, period, unquote. Tell me what the problem is with that statement. She then said it was common sense to bar transgender athletes from competing in women's sports. Again, what's the problem? Well, there's been a lot of backlash. Ms. Cunningham says she's not a very political person. Well, I don't know what's political about that statement. Boys play with the boys in sports. Girls play with the girls in sports. I don't see what the problem is. Well, I'm a big fan of trolling. You know, the folks who get out there and just kind of tweak other people. And that's what happened on Friday. There's an NBA player, now former player. His name was Enes Kanter. He changed his name legally to Ennis Cantor Freedom. And he became more political, and what do you know, then his career came to an end in 2022. But he was in the league for years, okay? Played for a number of teams, including the Celtics. So he has announced, he's declared his eligibility for the WNBA draft. Now, this is clearly a dude. In every respect, you look at him and you would not say, huh, I'm wondering. No, he's a dude. Ennis Cantor Freedom is a well-spoken, intelligent dude. He said that if simply declaring who you are is all that's required, then I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA. He posted that on Instagram, hit send, and you can imagine what happened after that. He continued. This is what I love about the whole thing. Again, Ennis Cantor Freedom, eligible for the WNBA, said, I know my presence on the court will stir up strong opinions. I am definitely not here to mock, make fun of, or disrespect any community or personal choices. I'm simply asking that the current rules be applied equally to everyone. The rules that represent the very values many WNBA players and coaches have publicly advocated for, unquote. Now, how did this all happen? Well, there were the comments about dudes should play with dudes, dudettes should play with dudettes, and then you got some of the coaches and players saying, well, I would welcome a trans player on my team. I would play against a trans player. In other words, they'd be happy to have a guy dressing as a girl on the team. Well, here's the great part. The collective bargaining agreement states, quote, only players who are women are eligible to play in the WNBA, unquote. Now, see, I remember a time not that far back, we all knew what that meant. But the collective bargaining agreement with the players' union and the league says only players who are women are eligible to play in the WNBA. That's great until you can't define what a woman is. We've got people who are now in the Supreme Court who couldn't define what a woman is. So if you are a woman simply by identification, sure, Ennis Cantor Freedom should be in the draft. Royce White, who is on the ballot next week, or I guess it's, no, it's tomorrow, isn't it? In the primary in Minnesota is tomorrow. He's running for U.S. Senate again in Minnesota as a Republican. Royce White was in the NBA. He says he's declaring for the draft. His quote is, I identify as sometimes identifying as a woman for purpose of basketball, unquote. You see how stupid this has become. All the dudes have to do is say, I identify as a woman for basketball purposes, and according to the WNBA rules, well, is that a woman? And if not, why not? Well, needless to say, now the WNBA, the commissioner, who's been doing just a fantastic job, that was sarcasm in case you could not tell, the commissioner says, we're going to have a conversation about this. They sent a memo to teams saying, we're going to need to have a conversation about this. Well, that's great. Go open the collective bargaining agreement. That ought to be fun. This is what I love. And then we're going to take a break here and let you think about it and weigh in. But this is what I love, where the hypocrisy becomes exposed. Well, no, we didn't mean real good guys who were in the NBA now coming to the WNBA like it's the seniors tour on golf. We don't mean that. Well, but you said you'd welcome any guy who identifies. There's a guy who identifies. I identify as a very wealthy person. I don't think that's going to work for me when I go to the bank and try to withdraw $1 million I don't really have. Well, I identify as a rich person. This is how silly the conversation has gotten, and props to any of these guys, dudes, real live dudes, who say, yeah, sure, I'll play in the girls' league. If you'll let me, sure, I'll take the check. Is it just exposes this for the insanity that it is? And hopefully there are enough real, intelligent, patriotic Americans who see this and vote accordingly. Because it's going to get ugly. It already is, but it's going to get ugly soon. Going to get real ugly if those guys are dressing up as girls. But that's a whole other conversation. 901-260-5926. I bet A.J. Rice has some thoughts on this. We'll talk to him after the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to you after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's on his way back from California to Memphis. He'll be behind the microphone tomorrow as you all gather to celebrate the release of The Golden Age, the new book by Todd Starnes. We'll have a guest at the bottom of the hour. And all guests on the Todd Starnes radio program appear via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, every day Americans make choices that shape our country's future. We've been talking about elections. But it's a choice to which cell phone provider you support. Let's face it, I don't want to give my money to a company that doesn't believe in the same things that I do. Now, what most people don't realize is that Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless provider. They're actually an activist organization. How do they get their money? By selling top-tier cell phone service to you. Now, they've been on the front lines defending our freedoms long before it became popular, standing in the gap when others wouldn't. Now, here's the best part. Patriot Mobile delivers prioritized premium service on all three major U.S. networks, giving you the same or even better coverage, and it's backed by 100% U.S.-based customer support. You know, some of these companies have been merging lately, and I hear all sorts of complaints from folks. Well, this is the great thing about Patriot Mobile. You're getting the benefit of all the big networks, but you're working to support causes you believe in because you're supporting a business that's behind you. You can get unlimited plans, mobile hotspots, those are handy, international roaming, and much more. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you will help grow a movement that fuels the Christian conservative cause. Every bill you pay to Patriot Mobile helps advance the values of faith, family, and freedom. Switching is easier than ever. You can activate in just minutes. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Any of that works. But take a stand today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Be sure to use promo code Todd and you'll get a free month of service. My favorite four-letter word, free. patriotmobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT. Promo code is Todd. Once again, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT and make the switch today, Patriot Mobile. I was talking about the WNBA and these former NBA players who are declaring for the WNBA draft. Well, meanwhile, over the weekend, there was a WNBA player, and I'm not going to give her the attention she so desperately seeks by even mentioning her name, but she was trying to prevent Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever from scoring a layup on a breakaway. And so the other player fouled her, tried to prevent her from making the shot. Now, there's a difference between fouling somebody and literally hooking their neck with your arm. Clothesline, which is what happened. Ms. Cunningham was clotheslined and brought to the ground rather abruptly. Now, that's called a flagrant foul. It was Category 2, whatever that means, but it means an automatic ejection. So the player who was automatically ejected, others have been for similar fouls. She is a female person of color. She went to the locker room, picked up her phone after being ejected, and tweeted out on the X platform, in all capital letters, white privilege, and then tagged the Indiana team. So she's a person of color, committed this flagrant two foul, thrown out of the game, and she tweets, white privilege. Had nothing to do with race. Well, perhaps her attack was racially motivated. And our friend Steve Dace from The Blaze, he does his show from Iowa, so we're acquainted. He posts on this. Nothing says you're a crusader against so-called white privilege quite like straightening your hair and dyeing it blonde to look exactly like the white girl you assaulted. Bang. Right on it. Because, again, here is a woman who clearly has altered her hair, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to talk about white privilege, stop appropriating Caucasians. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there. Ah, the WNBA, all of this is such a mess. A.J. Rice will sort it all out for us. His new book is called The Curse of the Bearded Lady, and he joins us in just 5 minutes after the bottom of the hour break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being here on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's on his way back from California to Memphis, where he will be with you tomorrow on release day of his new book, The Golden Age. Be sure to order it right now. Amazon.com is a good place, and that book will be sent to you very quickly. It is released tomorrow. Now, you might say, well, Jeff, I've already bought a copy of Todd's book. I'm just waiting to read it. Then I would tell you to go buy a second for a friend. And if you say, well, but Jeff, I've already bought three copies of Todd's books, but I've got a little money burning a hole in my pocket. What should I do with it? Well, go back to that Amazon.com site and pick up a copy of a brand new book by our guest now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the author, A.J. Rice, the new book, The Curse of the Bearded Lady, How the Trans Mafia Whacked American Sanity. Mr. Rice, always a privilege, sir. How are you?
Go grab a copy of Todd's book. And if you want to scare your blue-haired nieces or nephews, grab a copy of The Bearded Lady. I appreciate that, Jeff.
I'm looking at the cover. You sent me an email with the cover art last year about this time, and I fell off the chair. It's scary, but not any more scary than this topic. But first I have to ask, are you declaring for the WNBA draft? I hear you've got a pretty sweet three-point shot.
Well, you know, the WNBA already has a few bearded ladies. You know, even if they don't necessarily pass the physical the right way, but if, you know, I could probably go in there and stick a few jump shots in their faces for sure. They called me white chocolate in high school, so I'm game.
Well, does that mean you have white privilege? Because apparently that's a big thing now, according to some of the players.
Yeah, you know what? It's like the WNBA is doing double time promoting two of my books, the White Privilege album, which came out in 2024, and of course, The Curse of the Bearded Lady. You know, I guess I'm going to have to start sending them royalty checks, because between the WNBA is selling more books than Fox News is at this point.
Well, you know, they do feel entitled, so it wouldn't surprise me. Now, for those of you folks who aren't aware, Mr. Rice is the top conservative publicist in America. He's a syndicated columnist, and this is his third book in a trio. The first was called The Woking Dead, then last 2 years ago, The White Privilege album, and now The Curse of the Bearded Lady. Give us a sense, because this, you treat these topics with the appropriate amount of derisiveness, but this is serious stuff, is it not?
It is. It definitely is. And I was actually on with Todd for Volume 1, The Woking Dead, which has sort of become part of the sort of terminology and parlance here. It is. I mean, look, I do political satire. Comedy's a little different than satire. Comedy, you know, a little Seinfeld action, have yourself a belly laugh, Jeff Foxworthy, observational humor. And then you go home, and you go to bed, and you don't think about it anymore. Satire is there to make you feel uncomfortable. So I don't care whether it's Mark Twain or George Carlin or, you know, Dice or Lenny Bruce or Shane Gillis. I mean, that's what I do. I do political satire. And one of the rules that is sort of known in my world is that the job of comedy, the definition of it, is to transform horror into humor, right? That's what satire tries to do. That's what parody tries to do. That's why you get terms like too soon, right? Something terrible happens too soon. The key, though, is funny. If you aren't funny, you will end up flat on your face. I don't care whether you are an R-rated comedian or a D-rated comedian, whether you're family-friendly or not. Funny's the key. So, you know, when you're dealing with a big topic like the bearded lady and the trans mafia, you know, I decided to do a cultural autopsy. There's plenty of doctors out there, plenty of, shrinks and medical doctors and so on that have been doing a psychological evaluation. They've been doing a medical autopsy. I'm doing a cultural one because, mark my words, 100 years from now, people are going to look back at this time period and think we have lost our minds, okay? That we're like, this is one of these medical trends, like phrenology, if you remember what that is. That was the science where it, head size dictated your intelligence, or the Earth goes around the sun, or the sun goes around the Earth. No one knew the difference. Of course, Copernicus and Galileo helped us with those things. So this is junk science turned into what I call, Jeff, a peer contagion. A peer contagion. So you had a peer pressure mixed with a social contagion. In the medical and literary community, there's something called the Werther effect. The Werther effect is, for lack of better terms, copycat suicide. Okay? And what you see across, you know, really the globe, but it's uniquely American right now, and apparently they didn't learn their lesson from the 2024 election, is that you see the left continuing to push this stuff. They're not apologizing for it. They haven't learned their lesson. There's a few sane people like Bill Maher and Stephen A. Smith, but for the most part, they're going to die on the bearded lady hill. And that is where the curse comes in. The curse, and look, I'm being cute. I'm a fan of old film noir movies, and the book title, the book cover even kind of looks like a film noir, movie poster. The curse is the fact that they cannot and will not shake this thing. They're going to continue to lose until they do.
But to use those examples, so here's Bill Maher, here's Stephen A. Smith, and when they dare speak the truth, or at the very least raise their hands and say, wait a second, this is getting a little crazy, the backlash is immediate against them, and it's no wonder that lesser women and men, define that however you will, that lesser people don't stand up because, again, this is a potent force of overweight, blue-haired women out there.
Sure. But we're in a fight for human nature here. And what they've done, they're trying to normalize sadism, you know, because we've got a lot of adults grooming children one direction or another to be a gender that they're not. And then we have some mentally ill adults that are doing the same thing. But look, understand this, and Maher knows this. I mean, even Fetterman, you could throw him in there. Comedy is moral warfare by other means. And you bring shame out of the closet. You believe in the equal distribution of mockery, right? And you watch the watchers, and you watch the watchers with jokes. And if you do that, I mean, look, Jaguar put out an ad with no car in it last year. Yes. There was no car. They were just having a drag brunch on the moon. You know, and every once in a while, you'll get a sitting congressperson like Seth Moulton, who I write about in the book, and kind of applaud him for saying, hey, you know, I don't want my daughter run over, you know, in a lacrosse game or field hockey or whatever it was. But then just last week, he's apologizing for what he said.
Yes.
So the curse rings true, and it's hunting Seth Moulton down, and I guess for Seth, in his house, the bearded lady is singing.
The idea that we would be so far removed from what people of your generation grew up with. I'm older. People of my generation. I mean, we used to know. There was a rule on the playground when I was in elementary school. During recess, boys play with boys, girls play with girls. And we're talking about basketball or tetherball or whatever it was because, wait for it, boys and girls are different. And you can't just will it to be otherwise. Whatever happened to that? Now we've got emasculated males, you know, the man bun and Birkenstocks letting their female partners support them. What the blazes, AJ Rice?
Yeah. There's a new concept out there. It's called the stay-at-home boyfriend. The stay-at-home boyfriend.
Yes.
Look, working remotely is one thing, but the man bun boyfriend sitting at home waiting for his girlfriend to come home while he's, streaming Hulu and ordering Uber Eats, this is a totally new concept, okay? We're not exactly winning the battle of the bulge with men like that.
The new book came out last week on Post Hill Press. It's called The Curse of the Bearded Lady, third book in the trilogy by A.J. Rice. The subtitle is How the Trans Mafia Whacked American Sanity. Mr. Rice is kind enough to join us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. How do you turn this around? Because, there's a sense that crazy is allowed to live in society because we're tolerant, quote unquote, but there's a line where we just say, okay, now this is nuts. Now you've gone too far, etc. I would have thought we had passed it to this point. The last election got the right person in the White House, but this still, it hasn't gone away.
No, and it's not going to. They may change their terminology. They might not say the word woke, and they might not use terms like DEI or ESG. But when it comes to the 72 genders, I mean, there's nothing we can do. Whether you're Darwin or Jesus, you both agree that there's not 72 genders. So the Democrat Party wants to hide all 72 under their skirt and send the American people to the polls. They're going to continue to lose because this isn't even about science anymore. It's about sanity. Right? That's what this is about. And look, what do? Look, humor has a special place in Western civilization. From Aristophanes to Ricky Gervais. Mm-hmm. And it is a public audit. Humor is a public audit. And as long as shows like this exist, and some people online and the Babylon Bee and Gutfeld and so on, I write books, and there's plenty of shows out there that have a good time. We are winning the culture war here. But they're not going to stop. So we have to be ready for them. And that's the curse. The Democrat Party over the years have been able to shake things off that got them, killed at the ballot box. They've been able to do it. Or they've been able to do what Bill Clinton used to say is triangulate, right? Mm. The old Dick Morris mm-hmm. term.
Yeah.
But the Democrat Party being hijacked by the DSA, being pro, Iran regime, being pro MS-13, burning Tesla dealerships, having people like, Jasmine Crockett and AOC and Hassan Piker as their spokespeople. I mean, the Democrat Party is either going to fight itself and get rid of these people and remind people that there is only two genders, right? And that the bearded lady is not singing. I mean, look, Rahm Emanuel and James Carville seem to understand this, but they're Clinton and, eventually Obama guys. They're old school guys. So they're getting made fun of by the left. They guys like Ed Rendell and Evan Bayh, Joe Lieberman, they couldn't win an election tomorrow in most places. No. See, Bill Clinton's probably a little too liberal for Arkansas at this point. But if they don't take their own party back, that party's going to be run by Antifa, the trans mafia, the woking dead, and the bearded lady. And that's where we're heading,
What I love about the A.J. Rice books, folks, is that he makes the point you enjoy the telling of it, because, again, comedic, satirical, etc. But it also leaves you with this thought of, okay, now wait a second. I need to do something about this. I need to not just let this happen because, okay, this is a humorous telling, a humorous tale, but it's based on reality, to be sure. The Curse of the Bearded Lady, How the Trans Mafia Whacked American Sanity. It's a title only a guy from Philadelphia could come up with. He's H.J. Rice. Mr. Rice, I would tell you to keep speaking, but I know it's in your heart and you'll do it. So thank you for the time today and congratulations on book three in this series.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Never forget, there's no substitute for perfectly timed derision. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, sir. And A.J. Rice, kind enough to join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Line. One more segment from the Liberty University studio on this Monday, day before book launch day. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Thanks to everybody at Team Todd in Memphis at the Mighty 990, the flagship of this radio program, for all their excellent cooperation as per custom. I mean, this is easy for me, okay, because they're doing all the hard work. They're pushing the buttons. They're getting the guests on the air. I'm just sitting here talking into a tin can. So thanks to everybody in Memphis for keeping things smooth. And thanks to all of you for not switching away when you heard Todd wasn't on. I wouldn't have blamed you. Todd is back tomorrow. And once again, the new book, The Golden Age, it is released tomorrow. Now, this is, you know, I say often that this is the greatest nation God ever blessed. And here's another example of it. If you go to Amazon.com and you join Prime, all right, that's the special service, right? If you join Prime, you can order The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America by Todd Starnes, and it says the delivery is tomorrow. Are you nuts? Free delivery. Man, what a great country. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The author is Todd Starnes. The release date is tomorrow. And while you're joining Prime so that you can get Todd's book by tomorrow, pick up a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, his book that was released last year with Michelle Cox. Might as well make it worth your while and have plenty of good reading in these summer months. And don't forget, if you are near the Memphis area, special Todd Starnes book signing in person, 5 to 6 p.m. local time, that's central time, in Memphis tomorrow. Todd's book signing is at the Barnes & Noble Wolf Chase Galleria. And in addition to meeting Todd and getting him to sign your copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, you can also meet Senator Marsha Blackburn and Congressman David Kustoff at the Starnes book signing. Now, how good is that? It's pretty darn good. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America by Todd Starnes, release date tomorrow, Barnes & Noble, Wolf Chase Galleria in Memphis, 5 to 6 local time tomorrow. Some things to watch out for, and I love the Twitter X machine for various things, but primarily for news and information. Now, one of the people I follow is Jennifer Jacobs of CBS News. Don't hold this against her, but she was a student of mine when she attended Iowa State University. But she's scooping that the president is scheduled to sign an executive order on childhood vaccines today. So again, never a dull moment at the White House. You've got the president on Truth Social saying, oh yeah, the folks from Iran want us to pay them for breaking things during the war. That's a great idea. Now let's have you, the Iranians, why don't you repay us for everything that you've done or pay your reparations for the people that you've killed over time? And now you've got an executive order apparently on childhood vaccines to be signed. What is fantastic, and this is why we are on the cusp of this being the golden age of America, as Mr. Starnes points out, is you've got an executive in the White House, a commander-in-chief who's not afraid to take action. But the problem is there are too many in the swamp who are holding him back. So if the Senate is going to be out for weeks, the House is out for weeks, and you have the occasion to run into a representative or a senator, just ask them what they've done to support President Trump lately. Because if they did, we might experience the golden age. Appreciate Mr. Starnes letting me have the microphone for the day. Again, thanks to everybody in Memphis, and especially thanks to all of you. From the Liberty University studio, Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.